Lehrer on WNYC, and now a modest proposal. Merge Canada and the U.S. Okay, maybe not so modest. This move would more than double the size of the U.S. and would nonuple, is that a word, the population of Canada, that is, increase it by 900%. But it's an idea explored and supported by Diane Francis in her new book, Merger of the Century, Why Canada and America Should Become One Country. She's a longtime print and broadcast reporter, now serving as editor-at-large at the Canadian newspaper The National Post and professor at Ryerson University School of Management in Toronto. She's here in our studio in New York today. Diane Francis, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Now, the title. The subtitle, Why Canada and America Should Become One Country, really, not the U.S.?
Well, I don't know whether it's for typographical reasons or not, but, you know, America is the United States. The United States is America. The book, you know, I'm a dual citizen. So mm-hmm. that's one of the—
Born in Chicago, right?
Born in Chicago, dual citizen, and I'm a business writer. So I'm not a historian. I'm not a political writer. I'm not a foreign policy writer, but I think the geopolitical changes in the world are the reason why I started writing this book 4 years ago. This is my most ambitious project, and it's very robust intellectually. I've got 30 pages of endnotes. So basically it was, you know, Canada is this little economy, big piece of real estate, can't develop and can't defend it. The Chinese have targeted our resources. It's a treasure trove of resources. And the Russians have declared the Arctic is theirs. And we have a navy of 8,500 people and the biggest coastline on the planet of any country. And so we are very dependent on the U.S. economically and militarily and happily. I just think that it's just a no-brainer to me. But remember, I'm a merged person myself for these two to get together.
And we'll get to healthcare systems. We'll get to cultural divides. You know, the rest of Canada can't seem to get it together with Quebec, which now can't even seem to get it together with itself culturally, and some other things. But it sounds like the basis of this for you is in economics. There's an economic match to be made there, as well as Canada being able to take advantage of some of the security resources of the United States, as you just mentioned. Is it about both economies benefiting at root for you?
I think you're right. Being a business writer, that's my bias. But I think that there is a foreign policy, geopolitical, compelling reason also. And that is that, you know, we are in a new Cold War, and this is something I've perceived. I travel a lot around the world, talk to businesses. And the multinationals from the United States, Europe, and Canada are increasingly coming up against much more powerful multinational companies that are part of China, Russia, and other Arab countries that are state capitalist models. And they have their governments covering their back, pulling strings, not requiring them to obey necessarily all the rules, and they've been very aggressive to get ahead. And so we face a serious geopolitical and economic challenge. And if we don't get together, we will get picked off. And I'm very concerned about that.
And your list of potential things that could pick us off, as you call it, is long. You mentioned China or Russia invading the Arctic to capture natural resources. You also have Canada mishandling its Native American negotiations, leading to uprisings, Quebec separatism, never too far below the surface takes hold, environmental sabotage in either country. Listeners, what do you think of this idea? And if we do merge the two countries, what should we call it? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Okay, make that the price of admission. You have to at least take a stab at what we would call a new country of the United States and Canada. 212-433-9692. But if you're American, if you're Canadian, if you're a dual citizen like our guest, what do you think of this idea? 212-433-9692. So as an American, and our lines are exploding with people, and I wonder how many of them have the same first thought that I did. Canada is so functional. Why would it want all our stuff?
Well, you know, I have a different view of that because I live in both countries, pay taxes and vote. I think the United States is fine. It's just very noisy. Just to give you, without dumping necessarily on Canada, we have a mayor in Toronto who's a world-class dysfunctional character.
Gosh, I think we may have heard about him
exactly.
recently.
Exactly. He has more name recognition than the prime minister. I don't think anybody knows who the prime minister of Canada is. The other thing is, in Quebec, we have a major corruption scandal. The whole province has been turned upside down for decades, maybe generations. There has been a huge kickback payola scheme involving mayors, involving engineering companies, construction companies. Hundreds of people have been arrested. A dozen mayors have had to, some have been arrested. And this sort of thing is going on. We have a scandal in our Senate, in the federal government. We have four senators have been suspended with pay. One has quit, all for skullduggery, financial and otherwise. You know, so we're not goody-two-shoes either. And so both of us are wrestling with democracies and all those things. We're very regionalized. There's a lot of differences between Americans, and there's a lot of differences between Canadians. And I just think, hey, we're good at melting pots. Let's just have one big, gigantic melting pot. And maybe it's just economic, like the Europeans have done, where they get rid of the border, they do trade, but everybody keeps their own legal, health, tax systems intact.
That EU thing is working out so well recently.
Well, it is. You know what? The euro was badly designed, and then the meltdown happened in 08, and then Greece behaved like a criminal organization. They lied, they cheated, and they racked up debt. So they're recovering. The euro currency is back to where it was. And you know what? I look at the European Union as a miracle. 28 countries that for centuries have been slaughtering each other are getting along. It's unbelievable.
Put on your headphones. You can hear some callers as we take some calls at 212-433-WNYC for Diane Francis, author of Merger of the Century, Why Canada and America Should Become One Country. And Lauren in New Rochelle, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking the call.
You're laughing
Diane,
already.
I would just kind of say I'm a transplanted Montrealer. I'm an English Montrealer.
Lauren is a very Canadian name.
Yes, it is. Every
for
time I say Lauren here in this country, everyone says Mark. For some reason, they don't recognize it. But what I would say is I understand the economics, but from my perspective, we already are economically tied. I mean, the typical reality is a lot of the car companies are manufacturing cars in Canada and shipping them to the United States because of the free trade agreements. There aren't any taxes and tariffs. But the differences, I think, having come down here to the States and living here for 20 years and being a naturalized U.S. citizen, are really much more significant than any Canadian can understand. When I came here, I had been vacationing for 20 years with my family as a typical snowbird. And I thought it was exactly the same. And I was rudely awakened because the culture, the attitudes, the business acumen, everything is very different. A lot of people talk about the Canadians being kind of very moderate and being measured, and it's quite true. Living in New York, it's even heightened because, you know, New York, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. That's true, because otherwise you'll be scooped up off the sidewalk and thrown into the garbage can. So there's a lot of things that I wouldn't like to see, especially things like gun laws. The fact that in this country it's all about suing everybody that doesn't exist in Canada. Sure, there are crooks in Canada, there are crooks in the United States. But apart from the French Canadians or the French separatists constantly trying to, you know, take over the entire province of Quebec, when I go up to Canada, I'm so much more relaxed than I am here. Even the drivers, frankly. So I think it would be a disaster of epic proportion, but it would be a great grab for the United States because of the hydropower and the land and the minerals and all that good stuff.
All right, Diane, talk to your former country mate.
Yeah, well, I live and I work and pay taxes and all of that stuff, and I'm a dual citizen. I grew up in the States. Yes, there are differences, but there are differences between Chicago and Minneapolis. I did a little exercise recently. I took the six New England states, which are very much like Canadians. I took Minnesota, Wisconsin, and I took the five Pacific Northwest states in the U.S. This is the northern tier. And they always vote pretty much Democratic on the presidential ticket going back to the early 90s. They have the same population as Canada, roughly about 35 million. Their laws, in many ways, are even more liberal than Canada's laws, some of these states, and their crime rates are lower. So you can't generalize. New York is New York, and that is a unique city in all the world, just like Paris is not like the rest of France. So you know, I see Torontonians. The one big difference is, and I talk about it in the book, and it's instructive to read the book, is that Canada has a British sensibility about how you dress, how you behave, please and thank you, pardon me, and so on. It's very charming. I love it. The United States, to me, has a Germanic sensibility, more blunt, more direct, great work ethic, better work ethic than Canadians. So it's just a different kind of cultural patina, and it makes it different, and you have to deal with it differently. And Canadians, there's 3 million living in, like Lauren, there's 3 million living full and part-time here, and they like the U.S. Otherwise, they wouldn't live here.
Lauren, thank you very much for your call. On Twitter, some names are coming in for a suggested merged country. Canmerica.
Canmerica.
The That's North cute. American Union.
I like that.
American. The United States of North America. Exico.
That's funny.
And the National Hockey League.
That's adorable.
But how would you deal with some of the things that Lauren raised on a very practical basis, like the Second Amendment? So different in terms of the perception of gun rights in the two countries. Would we either have to decide, okay, Canmerica has a Second Amendment or it doesn't?
Well, you know, these are great questions. So what I did was in the book, in the introduction, I say, look, they've got to get their act together. There's just no question. Canada cannot hang on to its piece of real estate without a military force, and it can't develop it without a bigger economy. And so this is a given. I mean, this is their big existential question going forward. And
you're pretend really worried about war between Canada
30 or 40 years from now.
Russia.
30 or 40 years from now.
Or
well,
China.
China is making big inroads in our economy. And
China doesn't share a border, though, with Canada, right, like Russia does? So would there be disputed territories? Or what would cause China to declare a war on Canada if they're not declaring war in the United States?
No, it's not about war. It's not about war. It's about economic war. The new Cold War is an economic war. And it's about grabbing living standards and wealth and resources, access to resources to feed everybody's industrial engines and feed their families and so on. So that's what I'm talking about here more than that. The Russians, you know, want the and the Arctic is important because it's going to be the Panama and Suez canals of the future. So it's going to be very critical in terms of trade logistics. But to get back to it, you know, this is I did a menu in this book. This is a menu of options. We call it a thought experiment. So the one is I look at, okay, what if we did a Germany, you know, just merged? So Canada would get 13 states and you do this and that and so on and so forth. There'd have to be compensation to Canadians for all the resources they have that they would bring into it. And then you look at the European model. Then you look at joint ventures. You know, let's just develop the North in a sustainable, nice way together. And millions of jobs would result and lots of opportunities.
So something like the EU model would allow the United States to keep its Second Amendment and Canada to keep its
Absolutely.
Gun laws.
Absolutely. And you know what? By the way, the Second Amendment doesn't prevent cities like this and other parts of the United States from having gun controls. So, you know, it's
well, some it's gun a, controls it does, some gun controls it doesn't.
It's
the
a
big Supreme
quilt.
Court case a few years ago was about Washington, D.C.'s handgun ban, a city gun control law that the Supreme Court threw out. But Joe in Bloomfield, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What you got?
Well, I think some of the Twitter people beat me to it.
Oh, you have
What's your name?
I had a couple of names, and one of them was Americanada.
Oh, that's cute.
But I don't know if I heard that one.
Got another one?
And then Canamerica, which I think I heard.
Something similar.
But I think the other big question is, what would the flag be? Because there's a lot of people in the United States of America that would never, ever, I think, want to give up their flag.
Well, we did a stylized flag. I actually had a brooch
it's
made up.
It's on your book cover, isn't it?
Well, that's kind of it.
Oh,
but
is
this
it?
This would be the American flag with a great big red maple leaf imposed on top of the 50 state stars. But, you know, this is all fun and it's all important. I want the conversation to start in both countries. I want Canadians to realize they face a real existential problem going forward. There's a lot of anti-Americanism in Canada, absolutely inappropriate and offensive to me. And in the United States, I want them to understand the huge opportunities and what a great partner this could be. And I think a European Union is the best because then you can have your gun laws and we can have ours and all that.
And Joe, who we don't have time to continue with, Joe, thank you, was also asking, whose healthcare system would we have?
Well, I think the Canadian system is much better.
Yeah. tell the Congress people from Texas.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the interesting thing, too. And again, the regionalization. Quebec has been a very unique place. It's actually should be a separate country, probably. And it's got different politics, and it's very, very politically astute. It votes as a bloc. It punches above its weight. And it's pushed Canada very far to the left, just as the South in the United States has sort of voted as a bloc and pushed the United States very much to the right. And I think everybody in the middle is pretty gray.
We're running out of time. A couple of things real quick. One, because I know people are curious, why does Rob Ford, mayor of Toronto, persist in the polls to be somewhat popular after he admitted smoking crack and his excuse was he did it in a drunken stupor?
Well, I think there's two things to understand about the Canadian mentality. First of all, he has been a good mayor. He has actually done a good job. He's kept taxes in line. He's cut costs. And secondly, you know, we've kind of decriminalized possession of narcotics and marijuana in Canada. So it's not one of those things you go to jail for.
So there's a values difference.
And so it's like this is his private life and he's doing a good job.
He did a good job on mayoring.
But he can't continue to behave like this.
Climate change. Why wouldn't Canada be for climate change? Because it would get a little warmer up there. You'd have a bigger breadbasket. Maybe climate change is in Canada's interest.
Well, you know what? We're all ambivalent about it. We say bring it on.
Bring it on. And bring on the merger of the century, says Diane Francis. That's the title of her new book, subtitle, Why Canada and America Should Become One Country. Best suggestion for a merge name? On Twitter, USA.
Oh, that's adorable. That is the best.
Thanks
USA.
Thanks for coming in. There it is, our new national anthem, if Diane Francis gets her way.